Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we just had a National Thanksgiving Day where we acknowledge all the blessings from God that we have in our nation, in our homes, and we thank you, Lord, for all the things that we have to be thankful for. Yes, amen. And we do are thankful for, yes, our blessings, and we are thankful that we have Jesus Christ, and we get to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ now in just a few days. His death on the cross was a blood sacrifice for the atonement of sins. That's a part of the Hebrew traditions, and we kind of forget about those things if we don't learn specifically. But Jesus Christ was a sacrifice to atone for our sins. And we are so thankful that you have a plan of salvation. And what a gift that is, that we get to have an eternal life with heavenly peace with Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving and amen. It is something when we go through life and we realize that we really do have an adversary. Well, that's just how things go. We have good things, we have bad things, and we thank God for all the wonderful things that we have, and we ask for protection for the things that are going to be difficulties. Oh, yes, we do, Lord. But the adversary is something we have, and we want to always remember that our focus needs to be on Jesus and not on the problems of life. You see, that's what gets presented to us way too often, is our problems. The adversary, the devil, is the enemy, and he brings distractions so that we don't even have a chance to look at our blessings. We're so busy looking at our problems. And that's a part of the plan to keep us from God through Jesus Christ, is to keep us busy, 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 with problems, problems, problems. And then we don't even examine the goodness of God because we're too busy and distracted. So always have a moment to pray, to thank God through Jesus Christ. And a part of that Thanksgiving tradition is for us to thank God and say how wonderful it is that we are blessed as we are. And that's the thing about the Christmas season, too. We have blessings. Blessings that, Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has plans for peace and not for evil. So, Lord, we want to know those plans for this life and the next. And we want to be repentant of our sin and be born again. John 3:3. So that's our loving response to God through Jesus Christ. And we pray for these things in the name of Jesus. Yes. So you see, God has shown us by example in the Bible that we have a choice of being with God or without God for eternity. And we might think of that in terms of being in heaven or being in hell. So where do you want? Do you want to have your free will and free choice? Or do you want to be with God, who gives us lots of blessings? And there are still free will and free choice for what we do in a godly way. But we want our thoughts and our minds to be holy. And that's a part of choosing Jesus, is we change and turn from our sin and do everything we can to seek relation with God through Jesus Christ. And then we get to think about heaven instead of hell for our eternity. And the Bible tells us in Revelation 3:2 that Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. You see how good and wonderful Jesus is? God will come and spend time with us. And how wonderful that is. When we hear his voice and accept God through Jesus Christ. So we do have a choice of eternity in heaven with Jesus, or an eternity doing what we think we want to do without God. It's a choice we all get to make, as long as we're alive, and then we die, and then the judgment. See, that's another part of it. We get judged, and we need Jesus so that we are judged wholly by Jesus, this righteousness, not by ours. So it's all a part of what is in that Bible, and we get to read it, we get to study it, we get to understand the nature of God and his character and what Jesus did for us so that we could live a godly, life and afterlife. I mean, it's all a part of what we get to be a part of when we choose Jesus. So let's choose Jesus. I know there are people, and when I was a very early Christian, I used to think this too. Why do I need to accept Jesus? I mean, why can't I just wait until I am close to death and accept Jesus then? Why? I mean, the point is accepting Jesus. So let me go have fun in life, and then when I get near the end of my life, I'll just choose Jesus. Okay, well, I'll tell you. You know that I had a car accident a few months back, and it was a life and death situation. And in a life and death situation, or just plain to have medical people rushing around you, your attention is going to what is going on around you. You're thinking about the doctors, the nurses, the wounds that you have, whatever it is. You are all occupied with what's going on around you. I mean, I could tell that after my crash, after my rescue, in the hospital, after the surgery. I could tell you about things that happen, and our mind is so full of the events that are going on around me that I can tell you from my experience, if I had been thinking, oh no, I'll just wait till I get close to death and then experience Jesus. I'll take him as my Lord and Savior then. I don't have to do it now. Well, I want you to know, because of my experience with the car accident, your mind gets so full of the events that are just swirling around you that you might not think of accepting Jesus when you're close to death. So what I would say is invite Jesus into your mind and your heart now when you have a quiet moment and you can think of it and you can realize what it means to you and have that relation with God, Jesus Christ. So you have an opportunity now. Don't wait until a later time. Time is shorter than you think. Your life is shorter than you think. And certainly, a life and death situation can happen just as a great big surprise, and you don't know it. And all of a sudden, there it is. No more chances. No more time. Your time is up. That was almost the way it was for me. And that's why I'm telling you, accept Jesus into your life now. Don't wait any longer, because if you get a set of circumstances in your life, there's nothing you can do after that. I mean, of course there is, but you have to have a nice, peaceful, quiet place to realize that, I'm really going to die. Now what am I going to do? Is this a time to accept Jesus? Yes, always. And you look at the thief on the cross. There he was, faced with death. He accepted Jesus. But I could tell you from my little experience with the crash, with the ambulance, with the hospital, with all that was going on, you might not think about accepting Jesus if such a thing were to happen to you. And so, accept Jesus now while you can. He's there. He's waiting for you. And all you have to do is say, yes, Lord, come into my life. Be in my heart and my brains. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. Please forgive my sins and let me dwell with you forever, from now on, from this day forth. Well, that's what I would just say to you and anybody else who wants to hear it. Accept Jesus now. Do it now. It's much better to do that than to wait. And certainly I'm glad for all the wonderful and godly experiences that I have had as a man who's following Christ, or trying to follow Christ as much as I possibly can. And so I get to have a good experience in life with other people who are good, kind, and decent people. And so, yes, accept Jesus now while you are able. And then seek Jesus through prayer and with understanding. So, he's knocking. Open that door to him. That's what I have to say. Well, we all have a personal testimony. This is a little part of mine. But everyone today has a testimony where we can share what God has done in our life. And certainly, you can read about experiences that people have written about. There are books written of personal testimonies. And some of them are testimonies on the video or on YouTube or something. They're there, and you can read them and see how you can relate to God through Jesus Christ. One of the testimonies that's pretty good is A Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. So there's a whole lot of people who have made their testimonies public, and so have a look and understand what you can about God through Jesus Christ. Ask Jesus to rescue you. Accept his gift of forgiveness of your sin. Change your life. Turn from your sin and be saved. Go to heaven and not hell. See, that's a part of what the whole story is, simplified. And the Bible is full of God working in people and through people and even performing miracles. There's the biblical miracles that we all know the stories of, like David and Goliath or Joseph in Egypt. And all these things are, in a sense, miracles. Sometimes they're just plain and obvious right in front of your nose. Wow, I saw this. It's a miracle. And sometimes there's the slow movement of God, and you can say, oh, that's a miracle too. When you look at the things that have been written, I'm thinking of Jeremiah, how he and the Hebrews were captives in Babylon. And what happened to him? Well, they got freed from Babylon by what you would have to call a miracle. And miracles happen in the Bible, and they happen today. Today, I don't know your situation. You might be just wonderful. You might be depressed. You might be in a situation where you'd rather not be. You might even be an indentured servant, or sure, call it a slave. There are people today who are slaves. And I don't mean an economic slave, but there's that too. The Bible shows that God can rescue any of us from any situation. Now, sometimes it's by removing you from the situation. Sometimes it is by leaving you in that situation, and then he comes and is with you through the difficulty of that situation. So that's different ways that God works, and we don't know what they are actually going to be, but we do learn we want to be faithful to God, and we want to live according to what he wants us to do. And yeah, we can say, I live by the Ten Commandments. Okay, that's good. Live by the Ten Commandments. Now, some people can't even remember the Ten Commandments. So he makes it simple and gives us two commandments. In Matthew 22:38, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's a simplified way of saying it. Always, when you read Scripture, it's better. You get a fullness out of Scripture if you read it yourself. So I certainly urge you to read those two great commandments in Matthew 22:38. It's just a good thing to get familiar with God's Word. There is so much goodness that God has for us, and we want to accept it and be a part of the goodness of God. Have God's love in us and work through us. God's love is so great for us. And we feel it, especially as we pray and read his word. So there are a lot of people who accept Jesus into their hearts and minds when they feel God's amazing love for them. And then they want to love God back with all the love that he gives that person. And then often people will want to share God's love with the people around them, their friends, their family. And that's a part of how things work with our testimony when we share Jesus Christ, when we share what has been our experience with God. Now, we all know there's a few people who will not respond to the message of the gospel, and that's a part of just how it is too. People are not going to always accept God's message to us. Some of the people will reject God and the message that you would be telling them about God loving them. And that's a part of prayer. We pray for the people that are around us that we think about. And prayer is very, very powerful. So I want to encourage everyone to pray and know that we do what we can and to show God's love to others in a very wise ways. Of course, we have to use wisdom. And we do that as we show the love, and use wisdom always. Be careful. We want to be careful. Oh, just plain always, but here at this time of the year, Christmas time, we get so many things going on that we can get distracted from just the basic things of life, which include eating and drinking water to keep our body healthy and getting enough rest and sleep. Now, these are things that are just ordinary. Everybody knows them, but do we do them? Well, yes and no, but that's a part of the busyness that we want to not be too busy to neglect the things of God, which includes sharing our testimony and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's a part that we think about. Of course, we reflect on it like we always do. There's always things to think about and pray about. And prayer does not have to be a long prayer. It can be, because there's a lot of things to pray about. But it can just be a, Lord, help me. Oh, how many times have I said that one? I'm going to meet somebody. And I say, Lord, guide me. Give me the words to say. That's a prayer too. It doesn't have to be a great big long prayer. Just acknowledge God in what you're doing and ask him to help you. It's a part of what we do when we share the love of our love with other people. It's the love of the gospel, and it's the caring and compassion for them. God loves them too. So Jesus can be there to help you and help them and show you how to spread that godly love. I think of Jesus sometime, what an example he was. He was beaten for our sake. He was whipped for our sake. He was nailed to the cross for our sake. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23:34. So that's Jesus. He's our example. And we can always remember there's more that we can do to have love in our hearts and to come out of our mouth and our expression, which is things we do. Share the gospel of God through Jesus Christ with people. We have a testimony we can give too. Jesus is the example. We can learn how to follow him as best we know how. Fill your mind and your heart with scripture, and to be able to share that, that's a wonderful thing. We do what we're able, and we ask God for help in doing whatever it is that we're going to do. It just, God's amazing. He brings us so many good, wonderful things, including the opportunities to share our testimony with other people, to share the good news of the gospel. And we do that when we have the genuine love and compassion in our heart, and we have hopes and expectations for the people. Oh, certainly, we get a lot of disappointments, but we also get a lot of affirmations and good jobs and thank you for sharing. And that's, we get it all, and that's life. And we hope to improve the world, make the world a better place, and have that good and godly feeling of Jesus Christ, especially now, this time of year, Christmas time of year, the season of Jesus Christ. And we have a real events that help us to share Jesus Christ with people. So think about things, use what you can for the glory of God and God's kingdom. So that's, I think, an opportunity that we have at this wonderful time of year. And still protect yourself using wisdom, because there's still, the world can be a dangerous place and there can be trouble in this world. So again, use wisdom in what you do. That's just, yeah. I know there's, this time of year, I like to think of Luke in chapters 1, 2, and 3. Oh, I like Luke 1, 2, and 3 any time of year. But right now, it's kind of about the birth of Jesus and the wonderfulness of it. So it warms my heart and puts joy in my thinking. So I like to read Luke chapters 1, 2, and 3. It's not much to read. I hope you do. And read the whole Bible. But sometime we start with one part, and that's what we do. It shows God's love for us and the wonderful things that happen with and around the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible, it's a good book, so please read it. Yeah. Well, share the gospel and share the good news. Yes, with people you love. Yes, with your family. And sometimes we have an opportunity to do it with someone who we just don't know. And that's just what we do. We run into somebody, we say something, it makes a difference in their life. And we know that's happened to us. Every one of us has had somebody say something, both that was wonderful and something that was really kind of terrible. And so the words make a difference. And now at this time of year, keep your words godly. Keep your thoughts on Jesus. And then speak as best you can about the wonders of God through Jesus Christ. Yeah, read that. I'll just say it one last time. Read that Luke chapters 1, 2, and 3, because it's, I don't know, for me it just puts joy in my heart. Well, be careful in the world and pray to God for discernment of what's going on all around you, and that includes just where you park, for instance, and how you interact with people, because there's lots of people who are good, kind, wonderful people, and there's lots of people who will take advantage of somebody else. So you want to always be... use wisdom. That's the way to say it. As we do have plenty of things going on in this world that are not good. And, oh boy, I'm just thinking of, the voting machine fraud that is apparently going on now. It certainly has gone on in other countries, and we're aware of it. In the Philippines, it went on, let's see. November of 2020, I spoke about the testimony of a woman whose father in the Philippines, and her father was a senator, and the vote tally was radically different from what it was expected to be and should have been, according to her testimony. And so my point is that there are things going on in the world that are very unwholesome, and that includes voter fraud. Vote fraud is going on. It comes out of places like Venezuela and several African countries, too. And we can only guess, but we know that there is... what company was that? One company out of Venezuela that provides voting machine for other countries. And so there's a trail that leads to votes that are not counted properly. And that's one of the things that is going on right now in Brazil. There's, of course, we can't say yet that that's what's going on, but the people are going through the streets in Brazil because they are unhappy with the way the vote went, and there's evidence to say that it should not have turned out the way it was. And tens of thousands of people are protesting right now in Brazil, but other countries it goes on too. And there is questions of if the military in Brazil is going to respond to the voting machine corruption. There's demands to have the voting machine, what do they call that? It's kind of like the instructions that will let people into the inner workings of the voting machines so that they can re-examine if the votes were counted correctly. So the source codes. So that's what is going on right now in Brazil. Will it make a difference, or will the military step in? They might. There's a lot of calls for the military to step in Brazil. And, you know, there's a lot of things that we don't have firsthand knowledge of, and this is one of them for me. I have to rely on reporters and reports, written information. I have to see what is going on. And so part of what I listen to is the alternative news, because the main news stations just skip over a whole lot. They might not even say anything, or they might, and they'd give you no details. So I do listen to the alternative news sources about all sorts of things. And one of them is this election in Brazil, where the people are unhappy with the voting results. And there is, it's said that there are requests for the military to get on, involved and examine the voting machines and have a new vote with paper ballots. And again, the alternative media says the Biden administration and our CIA has sent people, that is representatives of their organizations, to Brazil to investigate the matter. Now, I don't know that they're investigating the correctness of the votes. They might be correct, examining the correctness of the voting machines to see, oh, maybe how to do it, do fraud better. I don't know. But the point is that why would the Biden administration, why would the CIA be sending representatives to Brazil? Is it, what concern do they have? Is it concern over the military involvement? Is it concern over the people saying that the vote was wrong? We have questions. And with all news stories, we have to examine them further. And usually it takes a little time to have the news sort itself out and some accuracy put into the news that we hear. And that's just the way it is. And so I say it because it's a current thing going on right now. And we have had a question of, were the voting machines accurate in this country? And there's no willingness to release the source code of the voting machines in this country to verify that the vote was not changed. There's just a question of if there was election fraud in this country or in Brazil, and what is the federal government in this country or in Brazil going to do about it? Well, I think I'm talking about this too much right now, but I'm going to say one more thing. There has been a question that is, oh boy, see, I have a great big hard time with prophetic people, because it just seems like, oh, I question prophetic people. And yet I am aware that for the last month or two, there have been prophetic people in the United States saying that the 2020 United States election would be overthrown due to fraudulent votes. And that really means fraudulent voting machines. And again, this is prophetic people are saying that Trump would be put into the office of president for a second term because of the voting machine fraud. So there, I said it. Do I believe it? I question the whole thing. But because of what's going on in Argentina right now with a question about the voting machines and the source codes, it just makes me remember these things, and I put them together. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm questioning. It's not that I believe any of it. I just see there's questions. And maybe you have questions too, but remember to have prayer, because we want the righteousness of Jesus Christ to rule in this land and all over the place, all over the whole planet. We want righteousness and fairness, yes, in elections, yes, in every way. And so pray for it. Ask God to provide this to go on. So pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Just to touch more on this subject. I remember, what is it, 30 years ago, really close to 30 years ago, there were several prophetic people in the United States prophetic movement. Oh, Dimitri Dudeman was one of them. Oh, now the point is they talked about things happening in the United States that would destroy it, with our money system, with our society, with bombings. These are people who talked about it, and just now there was Dana Coverstone. Well, not just now. That was a year ago. It was 2 years ago. Dana Coverstone talked about dreams that he had, and he verified them by correctness of... Look, it's a long story. The point is, there's people who are saying that the United States is going to have trouble, and we need to be aware and prepared for a kind of a societal collapse. So take it for what you will, and if you want to look it up, there's things to look up for. Again, I call them prophetic people. And one of them is the story about the prophecy of George Washington back when he was president, and he had angel visits that talked about three things happening to the United States, three crises: the Civil War, the American Revolution was one, the Civil War was the other, and the third one is yet to come, and it seemed to pretty much be happening in these days, where dark forces from overseas would come and invade the country. And then they would get driven away after mortal combat and great conflict in the United States. So, oh boy, I don't like this subject because it's not that real to me. But these things are all possibilities, and I speak of them because if you want to put things together, there's an argument for putting it together to say this could really happen. And that makes me just say to everyone, look out, everybody. This could happen. Get prepared. If it does happen, how are you going to handle it? Are you going to have some supplies? Are you going to have just call them supplies. Well, we've got things going on. Are they? Are they not? Well, most people haven't looked for 30 years after the things I've looked at and studied. So I get to have a little different perspective from most people because I've been following a lot for many, many years. But that's another story. I just wanted you to say things could happen, so beware and be prepared for things to happen. Have some supplies in your pantry in case we have to go without food for quite a while, in case there is a disruption of our supply chain and society and everything in it. There's people who've said such things. And I know, because it's said by more than a few people, that it could happen. And I just would remind everyone to get prepared and stay prepared, first in a spiritual way and then in a physical way. Because the spiritual is absolutely the most important, to belong to Jesus and to have an eternity in heaven. So those are the things. Stay prepared spiritually, but also have preparations physically for in case something happens, a natural disaster or something really unexpected. It could go on right locally. It could go on in your backyard. And it's all a matter of Well, I think of being prepared, and that's what I will say. I will say, be prepared, because something certainly could happen, just like it has happened in every other country around the world, like devaluation of our money. That it would be a crisis, and that's a part of that Dana Coverstone stream, too. Currency blowing in the streets, the roofs taken off of banks, and money flowing out. It's just, well, you say money, but I spoke about fiat money a while ago. That's what printed money is. It has no value of anything anybody wants, except that it is assigned a value, and it's whatever the government says the value is. That's what the value is. That is fiat money. And it could happen anytime in this country, because that's been the history of all fiat money, going back to Rome. 2,000 years of money that no longer exists because they printed it on paper and assigned a value, or they printed way too much money and that made the value of every currency bill deteriorate greatly. Yes, it's happened here, for sure. It's happened in England and France and the Netherlands and Vienna, Austria and Germany and Russia. It's just happened every place in the world. So why do we think we're so special? Our Federal Reserve is printing money so fast that it doesn't even use printing presses. It puts numbers on a computer screen. So that's a real question of, are we going to face a currency that in effect crashes and has no more value? Well, I've said that for a long time. It's going to happen because of the historical examples. You just can't repeat parts of history. It's an entire history. And we can be sure from the patterns that have existed in the past that it's going to happen again, and we are going down that same pattern, so that we are pretty sure that the money is going to become worth less and less and less, just like it has in the past 5, 15, 30, 100 years. It's been a constant loss of our purchasing power. And, I was just looking at an advertisement from the 1960s of a place in Oroville. It was a food store, and they had their specials. And it was just remarkable, where you could get a can of beans for 8 cents. You could get a tuna fish for, 20 cents? Or a can of beef. Just all these things. And it just is a reflection of how much inflation there's been, and it has eroded our purchasing power. Every one of us knows it, especially us retired people. We know how very much the money has lost its value. And the trend is going to continue, because there's nothing that is changing it. The Federal Reserve, the Treasury, and the orders from the upper levels of government are making it so that we are going to print our way out of a recession or a depression, and that means more and more money in currency. And of course, that means less and less value that the currency has. So it's something we all can be aware of and watch out for, because our purchasing power will get less, and it will make destabilization for all of society. Take it for what you will. And I mean, I don't know quite how it will end up either. It just, it's going to happen, because it's the historical pattern. Historical patterns have a way of always being true. And as you study money, like I have, and the bankers certainly have, the central bankers, the bank executives, they all know. And they say that our money is going to, well, they say devalue. Point is, get worth less and less and less. It's not exactly getting worthless, but yeah, pretty close. And I remember the stories about the inflation in Germany and in Austria in the 1930s. It's a pattern, and we're following a pattern towards the decay of currency. And that's what I want everybody to look at, to see what would happen if we faced this kind of a problem. What would you do? Should you stock up on some things? Yes, of course. There's some things you're going to need to live. And I always go back to my basic, water, food, and warmth. And, oh, you can look at the people who say, get ready and get prepared, and this is all the things you should have for preparedness. Be able to have whatever it is you normally have in your cupboard to feed your family. Well, okay, that's good. It's just that we can only do so much. We can't have a cupboard the size of an auditorium. We can't have a lot of things. We don't have the money to do it. We don't have or other resources, and we don't have the community that has that same kind of a support system where they will provide one thing and you will provide the other so that you can have a nice, civilized life. So these are things that are really going on right now. And I always say that you get to decide what to do, because if you do what I tell you to do, you're probably not going to want to do what you're told to do. But if you spend a few hours to look at the problem and investigate what it is wise for you to do, you're probably going to do it, because it came out of your good thinking. You have decided that it's going to be good for you, and so you're going to do it. So that's why I say study the problem and study what to do about it. And then you will do things that are just plain good for you, and you'll actually do them. See, that's the problem. There's so many lists and so many people who say, prepare for this, prepare for that. But you still have to do it. And if you don't do it, then you're in the same position as you are right now of having very little. But if you make a plan and you carry it out and you do things, there are going to be benefits that you will have in the future. But let it be through your own study, research, and thinking and planning. And then you can be pretty sure that you're going to actually do things that you believe in, things that are reasonable. So there's no excuse for not, well, of course there is many excuses, but there is nothing better than doing it by your own thinking so that you will actually do it and carry out your plan and have the supplies and the things that you think are important for the just in case. What if it falls apart? What if? Okay, it doesn't take a lot of effort to do the most basic and simple things. Now, I always think of grains, because grains last and last, and they're relatively inexpensive. So that's the way I think of having a supply, is to have the inexpensive things that are easy to get and easy to do. But then there again, that's what I've thought of. I've thought of spices and sugar and salt and pepper and a few other things that just will make the food taste a little better. We're all different. We all have a different idea. So please go ahead and look for yourself to see what it is you want to do for the just in case. Because if the just in case happens, you won't have a chance to do anything else. It will be done, and your time to prepare will be over. So look at it in advance and go ahead and do it. That's really what you want to do. Do it. Do something. Otherwise, you're just as vulnerable as you are right now today. You are just as unprepared as you are right now, today. So, well, I think I spoke a little longer about that and a little longer about the election computers systems, but I guess that's what happens. Every so often, that just happens. I speak too long, and so that's what it is right now. There's always the question of our salvation through Jesus Christ, and that's something I certainly want everyone to remember, that our job here includes preaching or speaking the good news of the gospel, that Jesus is here to save you from an eternity in hell. He has a forgiveness of sins when we repent of them, turn from our sin, turn to Jesus, express with our, know it in our heart and express it with our mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. And what an amazing thing that is. That we believe the testimony that is in the Bible. And so hooray for that. Speak to other people about the good news of the gospel and about your testimony, because we all have a testimony of what God has done, the circumstances that we just wouldn't have ever guessed would happen to our life, but it did. Oh, yeah, let's see. I started off the broadcast with my little car accident, and whoever would have thought, all these years, no real accidents. Two little ones, but they weren't my fault. And it was just, $1,000 of damage, not much. But now I had the big one, and so my testimony includes what happened through that accident and how you want to accept Jesus Christ in your heart and in your mind now while you are able. That's always something you always want to do, is to accept Jesus Christ in your mind and in your heart. It's wonderful to live with God in your heart also. And that's what we also want to do. It's so awesome to feel that love and what he actually will do in a real way. It's not just he moves in your heart, but there's things where you speak to God about and he makes things change. Yeah, again, my car accident was an example of that. But so is just talking to a person and you say, Lord, I don't think I can do this, but if you make an opportunity for me to speak about the gospel, I will talk about the gospel to this person. Just help me to do it. Help me in a way that I can do. So, there it is. The person says something to you, and it's an opening. Oh, it might be you believe in God. Who knows what it is? But there's always something which, when you pray, and it's there for God's will to make happen, it happens. And that's why I like to remind everybody to pray just a little bit. Just a little bit before you talk to somebody. Lord, help me. That's what you can say. Lord, help me. Lord, guide me. Lord, if it's what you will, make it happen. And then it's surprising how many times something will just open up and there you go. You have the opening and you can speak your testimony, speak the good news of the gospel. And that just happens. It just happens. So be ready to work, to do something for the goodness of God, for his kingdom, and the sake of the people that you know, that you love, that you care about. And this is a part of it. We want people that we care about, people we love, people we know, friends and other people, even people we don't like, because if they become a follower of Christ, they're going to be a nicer person. So we can pray for everybody to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then God gets to figure out how, but we still have that prayer. Sometimes something will open up, and sometimes it just plain doesn't. And The point is, we yield ourselves to God. We put Him in charge of what's going on in front of our lives. And then we thank God for what He has done. And we see it so clearly after the fact. Afterwards, we can see, yes, God did this in my life. It's been wonderful. I never would have expected this to happen. But look, He saved me. He healed me. He made the circumstances come about that were not impossible, but really not something that anybody would ever think would happen. Oh, and that's what happened with my car accident. I had things happen that were not impossible to happen, but being they did, the results were better than could have been expected in many ways. So that is something which I can testify to by my testimony, my experience. It happened to me. So I can talk about it. Hooray! It's been pretty amazing. That's what I do. Now, I want to remind everybody that you can listen again to any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. And then you'll see that come up. You'll touch on the one that says John Stephenson. And you can listen to any past broadcast if you would like to. You can also write to me, and you might have a question. Oh, yes, you might have a donation. At this time of the year, it's a good time to get and to give donations. So if that's something that God moves you to do, well, thank you, and God bless you. I do pray for the people who listen and the people who donate, and I'm so glad for everyone. So thank you for that. If you want to write me, that's fine. That's great. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Now, I'm still having a little injury from my accident, and I don't get around like I have in the past. So I don't get to my post office box as often as I would like, so there might be a little delay for getting whatever it is you write or speak or send or whatever that is. So I'm just letting you know, but I will get all of it that it gets sent. So thank you for listening today. Thank you for anything that you're inclined to do for the broadcast. Certainly prayer. Thank you for prayer. I'm grateful for prayer, and there's been a lot of it. So God bless you, and may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Glory now. Shine your light, shine your